What's up, my family barbecue, my bobas? It is your host, Aim High, and you're listening to the Aim High podcast, where all major podcasts are at. And for those of you on the YouTube gang, appreciate you joining us. I'm here with a very special guest. You can see him on the screen right now, and we don't want to spoil anything, but he is an absolute legend in the scene. He is an absolute incredible creator on YouTube and doing his thing, streaming. He's playing 2K, he's playing Apex, he's playing all sorts of games. He is up for election as a mayor of 2K. Give it up for my boy, my man, iPod King Carter. Welcome to the pod, my baby.
What's good with y'all, man? What it be like? You know what I'm saying? Thank you for having me. Of course, Aim. Appreciate you, my guy.
I appreciate you coming on here, man. It's been a busy week for you, has it not?
I cannot lie. This is one of the busiest weeks I've ever had all 2020. I cannot lie.
Hey.
It's been crazy.
We appreciate you fitting us in, man. Dude, listen, you've been doing YouTube for a minute and been kicking it and creating dope content for a while now. But just give us a little bit, for people who haven't heard of you, give us a little bit rundown of what you're about, bro.
So basically, I've been a 2K YouTuber, which is like a YouTuber who surrounds his channel's content around 2K for the better part of going on 11 years. And every year I try to innovate myself by branching out into different avenues of business, which may be a new platform, a new company, a new brand, and, you know, trying out influencing and things of that nature. And every year I find something new. And this year of 2020, I found out about Caffeine TV, which is a platform that, you know, a lot of people stream at now that like Mixer is gone, and, you know, they're trying their Fortnite stuff over there. And I believe that they just acquired URL TV for a nice little season. So I just decided, you know what, why not take my business over there for a little bit? And I think my contract is for like 4 to 6 months over there. So I'm just, you know, trying new things, man. I'm trying to stay on top of my game.
So this is a little bit different too, because you were with Facebook for a while, correct?
I'm actually still with Facebook. So, I've been with Facebook.
Yeah, how does that work then with the caffeine stuff?
So basically, as a businessman, I try not to sign any full exclusivity deals. So I've been with Facebook since 2018, and I've been a YouTuber for 11 years, and I've been a Twitch partner ever since 2017. So I ended up losing my Twitch partnership when I did sign my Facebook deal. But what I ended up doing was I went for affiliateship, and I was able to become an affiliate over there. And then I just got to push the button and go ahead and become a partner.
Wow. Interesting, bro. There's got to be something that's teaching you at least how to make these decisions and how to keep yourself open-minded and traverse, I guess, what is this business industry? Because this industry is super new. I know people in the game, you know, it can seem like it's been going for a minute. But even if it's a decade long, right, like that's still super new in the grand scheme of things. And so when you start getting deals like this and throwing at your face, you see a lot of creators kind of get in trouble, and they kind of put themselves into a corner, or, you know, maybe don't sign the right percentage type of deal. But it sounds like to me you've been able to keep your options pretty open, which is super sick. What's led up to being able to kind of have that mindset? Is there anything that's kind of put you in a position? I know for a lot of people, especially 2K, is it probably maybe sports probably got you thinking, making quick decisions, having to think through stuff like this? Or
I believe it's more so of how I was raised, yeah. I guess. So a little bit of backstory. I'm from a city called Chester, PA. And in that city, a lot of my family members own businesses all throughout the strip of which is Avenue
Holy,
of the States.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. So my dad taught me early on to not put all of my eggs in one basket, and to make sure that when I am doing any type of deal, I do not sign a deal where I'm not making at least a little bit of headway with the company. Whereas though, like, never sign a 50-50 deal, never sign a 60-40 deal, never sign a 70-30 deal. Because what happens is if you sign a deal that is not in favor of you, which is the creator, which they reached out to you for, then there's an issue. Because at some point, you like, a lot of creators think of this oh, I'm a streamer or I'm a content creator thing as a job. Mm-hmm. When in fact, it's a hobby that you started. For us that are have been in the game for so long, it's a hobby that you started that now generates money. So when you think of it as, okay, this is my business, this is my work, you tend to not want to do things. Yeah. All right. You tend to say, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't feel like I don't have time for it. When in fact, if this is your hobby and you say, okay, if a company wants 3 videos from you for a week straight, what's 3 videos? Because you've been doing 9 videos a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So fitting in an extra 3 shouldn't be that hard. Because yeah. you would have did those 3 videos for free. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Whereas though now a company is paying you to put out the same content that you always put out. It's just now you may have like a little ad in the beginning or the end of your video now. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
for me, it's always been, will this mess up what I'm doing right now? Or I will say to myself, in a fiscal year, will I lose out on money or will I earn money doing this over here? Because at one point I was streaming on YouTube and I believe that was all of like early 2017. I was streaming on YouTube like crazy. And I asked myself, I said, okay, if I go over to Facebook, will my streaming stop? No. Will my content stop? No. So I said, okay, well, let me take it on.
Yeah.
And then this year, after doing 2 years of Facebook and YouTube together, Caffeine hit me up and was like, hey, you know, we're going into 2021 and we want to know if you wanted to sign on. And I told myself, is 2 hours out of my day going to mess up my 4 hours that I have to do over here? Will it mess up me putting out a video over there, maybe 2 or 3 videos a week on YouTube? And I said, no. So I signed on. And that's just... You just have to make time to do those things. You know what I mean? Because you essentially it's 24 hours in a day. We only need 4 to 8 to sleep. So you have 16 hours to go do whatever else. You know what I mean?
And I think the biggest question that pops into my head just hearing all this is like, you know, from a creator standpoint, it's hard not to, especially when you do take it a little bit more serious to think about numbers and think about, okay, like what's going to happen here. Is that mm-hmm. anything that comes into your mind? Because too, like my initial thought is like, okay, the first jump from like YouTube to Twitch and then whatever, you decided you didn't want to do Twitch and you signed the Facebook deal. Immediately, I think people go, okay, is there going to be a drop off in viewership to go to Facebook? And then, you know, you do that, make that happen. You find success in that. And then now it's, okay, we're going to add on 2 hours to Caffeine. Have you seen people from Facebook kind of jump onto the Caffeine train with you and just do that because they just support you? Or is it having to build up a new kind of community over there and keep the Facebook community separate? But you get what I'm asking? I mean, like, are they able to, like, kind of flow through your content like that?
Yeah, so let's say 6 years ago. If you wanted to do this 6 years ago, people would not jump platform to platform.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people have more of a cult following, and they call them communities when actually they're some of your biggest fans. You know them by names, and you can point them out of all the people who hit you up because they've been around for so long. And there are people that follow me from platform to platform, no matter where I'm streaming, no matter where my content is. But what I try not to do is I try not to get caught up into the numbers game because what tends to happen is if you're not a creator with a mega cult following, you tend to start second guessing yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you start second guessing yourself, you don't produce content. You start thinking, I can't do it. Nobody's watching. What's wrong? What's the problem? You think that you have to go back to a drawing board when in fact you can still have that drawing board out but still continue to produce content.
Yeah.
Because at any given time, if you just stop and don't do anything, people will say, oh, he doesn't want to do it anymore. All right, it's over. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll just move on to the next creator. Where in my case, you may see me go crazy on YouTube for 6 out of the 12 months. And then for 6 months, I just put out general content like 2 or 3 videos a week. But in those 3 to 6 months of where it's like maybe new season or the game's first dropping, I'm going crazy with like 7 to 10 videos per week. You know what I mean? It's not more so about the revenue for me when it comes to YouTube. It's about the quality of, do I want to put this video out? Do I want to have my opinion be heard over the internet? That's all it has been for me for these last 10 years.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people, when they come on YouTube, right? Like, when did you start YouTube?
Dude, I actually just started YouTube this month. I've been mostly a streamer, man. And I think the biggest part of that for me was I knew, especially because I've been influenced by being friends with agents. So I see that right in front of me and I go, okay, I feel like you have to have some idea to like, or some passion maybe even that starts to even begin to do YouTube. I feel like with content, like I just love playing video games, but I didn't know what to exactly put onto YouTube about that aspect. I didn't have a clear direction until recently. So it was a little, I was a late bloomer. But I've even seen the benefits of being able to have a YouTube paired with the streaming and, you know, and doing stuff like that where, before I was just really just getting it out of the mud on Twitch, but.
Right. Now, let's take, we're both friends of agent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How long have you known him?
Probably about two and a half years, close to three.
Okay. So it's about almost the same for me. I've met agent around probably like early 2K18 type days. I think I might have seen him around before on 17, but it was more so 18. So when I first met agent in person, it was more of one of those things like, okay, let's see what me and him are more interested in. See, when I meet YouTubers, I never really talk to them about their content, their direction. Yeah. I just try to get to know a person before we dabble into ideas and the grand scope of things and algorithms and all of that. So whenever a YouTuber meets me, they always wonder why I immediately don't have a camera out. I'm not there. I'm not there to record.
Yeah.
Like they always try to figure me out. And what it is I'm so content in my own skin about what content I'm creating, what game I'm streaming, what platform I'm on, that I just want to be your friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to come and say, okay, like analytically, if I was into that, I would say, okay, agent has over 1 million subscribers on this channel. He has over this amount of followers on social media, this amount of this, this amount of that. And you start building a roadmap to try to use him as content around your channel when in fact you should be just creating content and generally sprinkle him in as an organic thing. Like, yo, you want to run twos or you want to run threes? Yo, I got a nice little video idea. But some people, when they get these relationships, they start building a roadmap of saying, this is how I'm going to get on.
Yeah.
Or this is how I'm going to grow, or this is how I'm going to start making money. When in fact, you should have all your friends that you've been playing with 5 years prior, everybody who got a PlayStation or got an Xbox, and you say, yo, was we playing Warzone? The boys, you know
the
what
boys.
I mean? You got to get the boys to play with you so that when you blow up and you can bring them along, you know what I mean? You can say, yo, if you into it, you into it. If you're not, that's totally fine. But you're going to play these video games with me while I stream. You know what I mean? And all 8 to 15 of my people are going to love us in our banter and our cadence and stuff like that, because you can't be as vulnerable as you want with other YouTubers because you don't know what levels of respect is there. You know what I mean? Like, say, for instance, right? I think I was in a stream with somebody before, and every few minutes that person would go quiet. And I'm like, I'm like, yo, where did they go? I'm like, I'm looking for him. I'm like, yo, you there? He's like, yeah, I'm right here. And what they were doing was they were on push to talk.
Yeah.
And they were being respectful of my stream and not coming in and thanking their supporters and their subscribers and their new followers. I'm like, yo, man, fuck all that. Say thank you to the people, bro. Like, you don't got to mute yourself in my shit. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, it's like that level of like, yo, some people come in and they're either scared and they don't want to say too much and they feel like they blew their chance playing with a bigger creator, or they go the route of, damn, how can I put him in a video and get my views up?
Yeah.
So like with me, it's more so, yo, what's good? What we doing today? We going out to lunch? Like, you know what I mean? So like, for instance, every video that I've ever had Agent, Davis, Duke, like anybody in was literally a spur of the moment. Like, they forced me to make these videos.
Yeah.
Like, bro, like every time I go somewhere, It's like, bro, I'm there for the weekend. I'm on vacation. I'm there with my friends because I see every single YouTuber that I meet, whether we talk on the phone, we talk over Discord, social media, in person, I consider them friends.
Yeah.
So if I've met anybody, like, I don't have bad blood with anybody that I've met. Yeah. You know what I mean? So when I see them, I'm like, yo, what we doing tonight? You know what I mean? It's not a, hey, yo, listen, we got a, I got a gym for an hour. We got to go record this video right now. It's like, bro, like, some dudes just wanted to come put their toes in the sand real quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's how I look at it. You know what I mean? When I meet other YouTubers.
But, too, like, I feel like that's how good content is made, though. At least from my perspective. Like, I feel like, and I could, I don't know. I'm not my chat. But I feel like my chat's responded most to, like, my own life type shit, like, you know, me bringing and having my own friends that I'm playing with, or even having a girl, like, if I did an IRL stream and I did it with this girl that I knew, like, she didn't even do Instagram, she didn't do any of that shit, like, she was just one of my friends, one of my homies from back home, and we were doing, like, some drinking games or something, and chat blew up and fucking loved her, loved it, because it was authentic, because we've been around each other before. We weren't trying to, like, hey, we're gonna force this video and look kind of like we're friends, you know, we might not really know each other, and it's, like, weird, and you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the more that you invest into those type of people that are around you also doing content, you invest a friendship just authentically, I feel like when you do content, it's going to make that content pop, and it's going to make that shit so much better. You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
So I agree with you, man, 100%. Like, I think, you know, even if your intention is not to, like, you know, do content with them, but you go in from that friend perspective first, I still think, regardless, when you do end up doing content, like, yeah, that's just probably going to be fire because you guys kind of got a feel for each other.
Yeah, like, bro, like, just listening, you know, to y'all playing Apex the other night, like, I can tell, like, y'all have done this before and y'all are cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, though, like, you come into a Discord and nobody's talking and you're like, like, you know, and you're like, do I want to be the icebreaker? Like, I've been in so many of those moments where it's like, I'm the icebreaker and we're like, the fuck is we doing, boys? Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, things like that. I try to let people know, like, I try to let them know that I'm cool because maybe I can come off overbearing, especially when you see me in person. Like, I'm 6 foot, brolic shoulders. I got boots on. I look 6'4" to you. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it look like I want to bear hug the shit out of you. But, like, in a general sense, it's just, I just come out and then next thing you know, you see my smile and then I instantly try to roast you or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Breaking ice and stuff like that. That's just what I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I feel like that's in some ways, I feel like the creators that I've had success with and had fun with, that's their mentality. You know what I mean? And they've been cool. Dude, how did you, because we did play a little Apex last night and that shit was fun, man. That shit was dope. How did you get into video games? Were you initially into sport video games, or did you get playing the FPS or shooter games more when you were first getting into gaming, or, like, what was your path like?
So when I first started out playing video games, it was back on Nintendo, and I'll never forget, I literally put Mario down. Like, I was not a fan of Mario.
Really?
People can roast me, they can say you're a noob, they can call me trash. Like, but you can't call me an old head because I'm already that. So it's like, when I seen Larry Bird, like Burver's Jordan joint 1v1, I seen that game, I said, oh yeah, that's me. You know what I mean? Then I was into Metroid, which is it is kind of a platform, but it's really more of a shooter. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, I was into that. Then when Sega came out, Sonic? What's Sonic? I'm not really on that. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the shooter games. I'm on the sports games.
Yeah.
Then when NBA Live came out in 96, it was like, yo, like, hold on. Like, NBA Live is nice. Hold on. Madden? Oh, I like Madden. Hold on.
Yeah.
And that's where things went crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'll never forget when sports games started really getting good. Every single year, I would ask my parents, like, yo, I want to know if I can get this. And then when I turned, like, 12, that's when I started purchasing games on my own. Like, I used to work a little bit for my dad, get a little bit of allowance money, and all of my money went into games. I couldn't afford the systems, but I could afford the game. So I made sure that I had three of my favorite games, and it was always sports games and one shooter. So like Soulcom, yeah, Soulcom was good. What else was pretty good? Of course, Call of Duty was good, but I really got heavy into Call of Duty on Modern Warfare 2 because that was like one of the biggest game ever, if not the biggest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
Yeah, so it's always been I choose one shooter that I really really like, and then I surround everything else with sports games. But I also do play the story mode games as well. But now a lot of the story mode games have like online to them.
Yeah,
and it just kind of like throws me off a little bit because like I'll play let's say Ghost of Tsushima, right? I finished that game, and then when they came out with their online co-op, I was like nah, I'm good. I'll wait.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
I, like, give me, like, 6 months. I just no-lifed that game for the first, like, week or week and a half that it came out. Like, give me 6 months. I'll come
back
after all
it.
Of... Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, that's how I do it. But, sports games are fire.
Yeah, it's good to hear that because I, like, growing up myself, I was really into sports games, and that's really how I got started into video games. I know... you know, I'm old enough to remember the old NES, and my brother and my dad used to always play, Contra on that. And just like my dad was goated at Contra and he was goated at, oh man, it was an arcade game. It was a spaceship game, Galaga. My dad was fucking so I'm talking like my dad, any Galaga that he went to, he would set the number one record and then leave. Like, it just was like, it was an addiction for him. Like, if he saw a Galaga machine, he just had to play it. And, like, I very fondly remember, like, him, like, arguing with my mom every time he saw a Galaga machine. He'd be like, come on, like, let me go play. Like,
So it's in your veins.
It's
then.
In my veins, you know what I'm saying? Okay, but then okay. My first real system was the, like, mine, where I had it myself, was the N64. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up on just, like, Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, but also GoldenEye. And then the real love is,
Spider-Man,
I don't know if you remember.
All?
Yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah, the one where he's crawling up the wall on the cartridge. That that game, yeah, that game was fucking good. But I also grew up, I don't know if you're going to remember this, but before, I think Madden was still going on. But there was a game called, like, Quarterback Club or something, and it had Brett Favre on the front, I want to say. And... I don't know.
Remember playing that.
I don't know, but it was like this off-brand football game or whatever, right? But
yeah, the only football games that I used to play was Blitz, NFL 2K, and Madden.
Bro, NFL Blitz was fire too. That shit on the N64 was so good. But that and this Quarterback Club really got me into like sports games, and then that's when I started getting Madden, and then. That kind of transferred into like NCAA games. Once the PlayStation came out, I got really into NCAA games because I'm a huge K-State Wildcat fan. Yeah, man. So, you know, that really got it kind of started. And then when I was, I want to say like 13, 14, I got into this shooter called Wolfenstein on the PC. And that was the game that I really first kind of went pro in, started to compete a lot in tournaments. And I was pretty young, too. I was, like, 13, and I was, like, on one of the best rosters. It was, like, a really cool experience. And then from then on, dude, it's just been downhill. I've just – my entire gaming career has gone downhill. I peaked at 13, bro, and it's over. but it's – now I'm, like, mediocre at, like, Valorant and – pretty mediocre at Fortnite and all those games, but yeah, man.
It's, I think what it is now is there's so many shooters out there, and you know, if you notice when the big creator goes over to the new game for like a week or 2 weeks, and then they go back to their mainstay, but you freaking end up staying for like 3 months, and forgetting about the older game. That's what tends to happen. So like, you tend to become mediocre at all these different games because you're playing so many. Like. Bro, if I hop on Warzone, I'm getting wrecked. Bad. Like, really, really bad. But if I play Apex, I know what to do. I know how to kill people. I know how to make the right call-outs.
Yeah.
Man, in Fortnite, I'm just a fish in the water. I let my son carry me in that. Like, he's a Fortnite god. I can't do it. You know what I mean? He levitates and does invisible building and all. I can't do none of that. You know what I mean? Like, I leave it up to him.
Bro, but it's interesting how that works. I mean, at least for me, growing up, I never really thought we would be at this. Well, not never that I never, but I just feel like it was going to come a lot later, where it feels like now we are like going rapidly through games and through the flow of the industry, mm-hmm. like waiting for like maybe the new Fortnite to come out that, like, you know, because Fortnite changed lives, changed careers, you know, really brought gaming into like the public eye as far as the industry goes, and has created a ton of esport opportunities for people. And it's like super sick to see. But it also feels like right now, like, in an odd way, I don't know if you would agree with me on this, but I feel like right now, December 2020, we're in like maybe one of the most boring gaming periods, I feel like, of all time. Like, even though Cyberpunk just came out, like, I don't know, man. Like, Fortnite is really struggling. I think Valorant, I really love Valorant, but I don't think that it is really super fun competitively to watch. But I feel like it's got to have like multiple years. Like, we're in the beginning stages of it. Like, it's not League, you know. League's been around for 10 years, has a huge fan base. Right. Set, like, when, you know, before COVID and stuff, was selling out, you know, 350,000 people arenas. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's fucking crazy. Right. Like, I think Valorant can get to that, but it's got to happen over a longevity period of time, right? And so it's kind of like in its early stages. So I look around and I'm like, and no sports game really ever comes in competitively or like to watch or whatever. Like, right now, it's so boring, bro. Among Us just won Game of the Year, because, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, because people are just tired of like the same old games, the same old battle royales and shits. And like, so I don't know, man. I don't know what you think about that, but I feel like we're just in a boring time.
I think it's more so burnout than boring. So yeah. let's take it a little step further, right? The way we consume social media is the same way that we consume music. It's the same way that we consume television, the same way that we consume movies. Once we're done, we're done.
Yeah.
We don't want to go back to it. Fuck nostalgia. No matter how many people said, fuck nostalgia, you're not going to go back and watch all of those Fresh Prince seasons. Mm-hmm. You're just not going to do it. You've seen it already. Been there, done that. You're not going to want to watch freaking Walter White cook up meth no more. Like, you just don't want to do it. And yeah. The same thing is for gaming. So think about it like this, right? A new Call of Duty just came out.
Yeah.
And Warzone is still in the game. They have a new island, which is cool and all of that. But what they're saying is, if you previously had Modern Warfare, that's how you play Warzone if you have Black Ops Cold War, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, people are not leaving Warzone to go play the new multiplayer on Cold War. They're sticking to Warzone, which is the same exact thing. You know what I mean? Look how many people got mad at Blackout. Then when Warzone came out, it was the best thing in the world. Mm. You know what I mean? It's one of the greatest battle royales of the last 2 years because of that. Now you're telling everybody, okay, well, we're going to try to update the maps for you guys. For everybody that got the new game, we're sorry that you bought the new game, but you could have just kept Modern Warfare and played Warzone all you wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's literally burnout, bro, because everybody's been playing the same thing. Fortnite can come out with a million seasons all they want.
Yeah.
It can create a bunch of new skins. They can put in new guns, take out new guns, nerf new guns, buff old guns. It doesn't matter. It's going to be burnout because they've been playing Fortnite for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then another thing, the sports games. Every single year, the sports games can't change drastically.
Copy paste, man. They just get such a bad rep for that.
Yeah, like, think about it. How can you change shooting and dribbling a basketball?
Yeah.
How can you change pass trajectory? Because we watch football every year. We watch basketball every year, and it's the same thing. LeBron James drives. Steph Curry shoots.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Kyrie dribbles. It's the same thing. We consume it like that because, think about it. The new NBA season that's coming up, it's the hottest season ever. For the last 5 years, it's the hottest season we've ever seen. You want to know why? Because all of these teams have been mixing and matching these trades and sending players to new places and putting together new players and not just putting super teams together, which they really are. When you think about it, Kyrie and Kevin Durant, that's going to be a super team.
Crazy, dude.
You know what I mean? But putting them over on the East Coast and putting them somewhere that maybe didn't get a good rep, which is Brooklyn in the last couple years, is going to change the dynamic of the East, because now we have Giannis who stays. The Heat is trying to get Harden. So it's like, oh my God, the East about to be crazy.
Yeah.
And that's all we can consume and say, this is going to be the best basketball season ever.
Do you think,
because of that?
Do you think people are running from, you know, because I'm not a LeBron hater. I get pinned as a LeBron hater. But I'm really not. I just think that, like, it's a well-documented fact that, you know, when he was in the East was weaker. And he comes over to the West, and you got to give him credit for wanting to do that. And, of course, you know, his first year in the West was not that great. Right. But then comes out, wins a championship, does his thing, and people can make excuses about whatever happened, whatever. Mm-hmm. Point is that it seems like now, given another season – some people could say people are now running from the West to be in the East because he's no longer there. Do you agree with that? Do you think like it's just kind of it is what it is? Because at the end of the day, people got to play, like, the East and the West have to come together eventually. But I mean, I don't know if you get what I'm saying by that. It just feels like
I understand it.
It feels like
it's a it's
maybe
a dynamic
just,
shift.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So think about it like this, right? There will only be three teams coming out of the West this year that can potentially be NBA Finals category people. And that's Lakers, Warriors, if they stay healthy, and some people would say Nuggets or Blazers.
I feel like, right? I would say, yeah, I would probably say Clippers, Lakers, and Nuggets are all Finals contenders.
I mean, yeah, Clippers too. We could add them in there. Great, yeah. But I'm talking about, like, from the stage of, like, who you see on paper moving around, what things are looking like, how preseason is going. Everybody right now is hot for the Warriors, of course. Yeah. They're hot for the Lakers, of course. Everybody can't stay away from watching the Nuggets play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even though the Blazers are in a small market, they still saw what they did last season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, of course, everybody's like, yo, Clippers, you had a chance. You could have made it to the big show. And then you sold yourself. And you seen who they lost to. So that's why that gave that team much more rep this year because of who they beat. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But the Clippers are still top five. You know what I'm saying? But they're at the fifth spot right now. You know what I mean? You gotta beat those teams. You gotta get them out of there. So, you know, it's only four to five teams that's good over there, when every single year, all eight teams for like the last two decades were great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all eight seeds coming out of the West were hot. Fucking fire. They will go over to the East, whether they were at home or away, bust the East ass. Their records were fucking crazy for the last 10 years. And now it's a dynamic shift. Although the Warriors got injured, some people would say LeBron had an easy road. He only had to make it through the Clippers, which they ended up losing.
Yeah, they didn't.
You know what I mean?
Play him. Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? So, like, people say, like, oh, LeBron had an easy road. I mean, listen, LeBron can't control what another team does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, his road is his road. He chose to go to the Lakers. He stuck it out. He got more people. He got AD finally. And now he's on his way to a chip.
And then
he got that chip.
I still think that, you know, overall, of course, I think the West is more dominant just because, you know, like you said, they have so many teams in that conference that could be in that eight seed conversation. I don't even know who's going to make it to the playoffs this year, because you have so many teams that are like, I mean, the Suns, you know, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, the Blazers are always in that conversation around
Jazz.
7 or 8, but they always play higher. The Jazz.
Yep.
Jazz, you know, I wouldn't, you know, I mean, I like the way De'Aaron Fox plays. So, you know, I feel like even a Sacramento team, I wouldn't pick them to make the playoffs, but I feel like they're going to win a couple games that maybe they shouldn't. Right. You know, there's just a ton of teams out there, bro. And then Dallas is just getting better and better and better. And what does a healthy Kristoff and Luka Doncic look like on that side of the ball?
Exactly.
You know, I don't know, man. It's going to be crazy. But I just think about, okay, Westbrook is now with the Wizards. You know, if James Harden gets traded, he's going to be somewhere in the East for sure. Right. Also, what is that? I don't really like that backcourt of Ben Simmons and John Wall together, so I don't really know what they would do if they did get the Ben Simmons.
That wouldn't happen. I heard last that they were in the Heat, talk with the Heat, and that they didn't want to give up, what's his name?
Tyler Hero, right?
No, the three-point shooter.
Robinson? Duncan Robinson?
Yeah, Duncan Robinson. Yep, Duncan Robinson. They said that they are not willing to give him up.
Hmm.
That's what they said. But they're in the talks with the Heat right now. So
I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, it's
iffy, bro.
I feel like I hear stuff like that, and I'm like, man, I really wish I could be a GM, bro. I've played so much my career, dude. You know what I mean? But no, I mean, dude.
Everything looks good on paper until you put those pieces together.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. But I think, dude, if there's a way that Philly could get Harden, dude, James Harden, Joel Embiid, like, I feel like Joel Embiid, there'd be no excuses at that point. I feel like Philly would have to do something big if they got James Harden and Embiid together.
I think what tends to happen is, right, when you get two superstars that demand the ball the way that both of them do, you're going to have friction mainly because Embiid wants to create his own shot. He'll love to maybe do a little bit of pick and roll, but for the most part, Embiid is back to the basket, or he is high screen and roll, or high screen and pop. So, like, yeah, it'll be dope, but when we think of Harden, Harden's more of an ISO player.
True.
You know what I mean? So, like, you think Embiid wants to sit in the corner or sit at the hash while Harden breaks down a defender? Or even, let's say, for instance, they do screen and hold, right? So yeah. Embiid holds the screen, Harden gets to switch with the big, Embiid goes to the post. Will Harden say, no, let me ISO, or will Embiid say, no, let me post?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you that have to think of those
things. I just think about, like, man, like, Harden is such a three-point shot taker that if he was somehow able to not as much ISO and want to drive to the basket, it would open up the lower portion for Embiid, where as Ben Simmons, you know, you could just sag off of him because it didn't fucking matter. So Embiid was getting double teamed no matter what. Right. Where it's like, oh, but it is interesting to think about, okay, you know, there's reports coming out that even when James Harden was with Chris Paul, if James Harden wasn't involved in the play, he wasn't about it. Is what the reports are coming out of saying. So you gotta think if, you know, the coach is going, hey, you know, the smart thing to do here is have James sit at the top of the arc and just fucking, you know, be out there shooting threes. And if, you know, James goes, I'm not really feeling my shot today, I want to drive to the basket, all of a sudden there's friction there. And if he's not involved the way that he wants to be involved, you know, maybe that doesn't work out as well as maybe you would think it does. But
Harden needs to be on a team full of role players, period.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because think about it, right? If he scores 40, you need 14 other guys to score 50.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they can get 90, and then they have to play great defense against other players to hold them under 80.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, whenever you have a star player and a star of his caliber, you have to say he can do it all, but where does the rest of the team fit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which is
the
why
same thing,
I think the Heat are thinking about, hey, like, that's – he's probably best fit for the Heat because Jimmy Butler doesn't give a fuck. He just wants to win. You know, and then all those role players like Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson sitting out waiting, he can ISO because they're just going to sit
Adebayo
at the 3-point line.
Yep.
And then Adebayo, yeah, he's very versatile to be able to set screens and athletic. He can move around the court wherever you want him to go. So that'd be a great spot for him for sure. I just don't know how they get him without at least having to give up one of those shooters. They got to give up some picks.
I
don't know.
It's going to be a lot. I mean, see, if he goes to the Heat, it's a 2-year plan. If he goes to the Sixers, it's a 1-year plan because if it don't work out, he got to go or somebody else got to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the Heat almost made it. You know what I mean? They almost made it. Yeah. They did get mollywopped on, but they almost made it. You know what I mean? And they did that with the team that they currently have. And they did that with grit. They did that with straight up heart. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. Yes, their players are good. I'm not saying that their players are not good, but it takes a different level of, yo, step the fuck up. We have to win.
Yeah.
But you can
see the talent disparity though. You know what I mean? It's not, it's not like, you know, oh man, like they're just as talented as the Lakers players. Like, listen, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, even though Jimmy Butler's on that team, those two guys, just talent alone, are just leaps and bounds above all the Heat players. So, you know, it's not to take anything away from them, but it is to say, like, hey, listen, like that was done, solely from motivation, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And not giving up on plays and, you know, getting dirty and not giving a fuck, man. And you got to respect it. So, hey, listen, if they get somebody like Harden, it would be very interesting. I think though, man, listen, I want to see KD and Kyrie make some noise in Brooklyn, dude. I really do. I want to see KD light it up. I think he's the best player in the world. I think Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. And I think we might see it this year, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't really know how him and Kyrie are gonna fit. But to me, all signs point to a green light go, maybe finals appearance. But Boston is getting better. I don't know. And then obviously Heat. But I think
what happens with players like Kyrie and KD, for them to be able to create their own shot, it creates a dynamic where you better not help, because if you help, the problem's gonna happen. You know
that
what I mean?
That team is deep, dude.
Right.
Hold on, like, a moment. Very deep. Now you're good.
Yeah. So, like I was saying, basically, you know, when you watch LeBron and AD both play together, you say to yourself, LeBron could get 30, but he's probably going to get 9 to 14 assists. Yeah. So you know that he's going to be passing the ball elsewhere. With Kyrie and KD, Kyrie may pass a couple times, but for the most part, KD is going to go ahead and score, or Kyrie's going to go ahead and score. And you better not help on one of them, because they have shooters set up. So the double team, you can't take away from the strong side to go to the weak side, because you still have Kyrie on the other side of the court.
Yeah.
So even if, like, say Kevin Durant gets to the middle of the floor, right, and you have three guys go at him, you just sold the bag. You know what I mean? So things will definitely be a much different dynamic over there, because you have two guys that can shoot and can create their own shots. Whereas, though, you know, Embiid is more of, I need mines in the post, and if Harden went there, he needs his all over the floor, and he needs that paint clear, or he might get a foul, or, you know, you might just be clogging the paint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's different. So it's like those things where you got to think, like, okay, putting two players on the team like Westbrook and Harden, right? They both need the ball in their hand, right?
Yeah.
But at any given point, if Westbrook misses, like, say, for instance, Westbrook goes 2 for 8 from three, will he be, let's say, cordial enough to say, you know what, yo, Harden, you got this, bro? Or will he keep shooting until he gets hot? You know what I mean? Like, that.
Well, I think we all know the answer there for Westbrook.
Exactly. So
here's the thing though. I actually like him and Bradley Beal together.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely think the Wizards are going to be a playoff team, and I think that Westbrook and Beal could make some noise, because I think Beal is no slouch. I'm kind of disappointed to see he hasn't gotten more All-Star nods over the years, because because of John Wall's history, he's had to carry that team by himself the majority of his time there, which is kind of unfortunate. I think if Wall was healthy, they would have done a lot more. But
it's being a guard, man. That's all it is. Being
Wall,
a guard.
Wall
on the
seems
East
healthy
all these
though.
Great guards. Yeah, but think about it like this, right? The reason why Bradley Beal, let's be honest, the reason why he's not an All Star is because he was surrounded in a pool of All Stars.
Yeah,
it's that simple. And then, not only that, they changed the criteria on how to choose the All-Stars. Like, they didn't say you have to pick a certain amount of shooting guards anymore. They said pick a certain amount of guards. Now every point guard is gone.
Yeah.
The shooting guard doesn't get a nod anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way it is over there on the East. Like, you had so many great guards, so many great point guards, and now, you know, you're that second shooting guard, and you're just like, yo, I ain't never going to go, because I got all these guards sitting over here with me. That's just the way the cookie crumbled, bro.
And that's, I mean, you're not wrong. And it's kind of, I'm sure, frustrating for them. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. He can only play the games. He can't really decide anything past that, you know. But it is what it is. Are you big into other sports at all besides basketball? I know you said you play Madden a little bit. Are you into football?
I'm into football only to see my Eagles record. You know what I mean? Like, once we win our chip, I kind of fell off from NFL, and we kind of already know why, like, you know, the whole kneeling situation, and you know what I mean? Like, I just told myself that, hey, I'll watch from afar. You know what I mean? I'll look at stats. I'll watch a couple highlights. But, you know, it's not like one of those things where it's like, yo, I don't want to support. It's more so like, hey, these guys need to be more respectful of the players that put their bodies on the line for them all year long and pay them well and let them know that they have the right to speak out and stuff like that. That's what it's more so about. It's not about just not supporting the NFL, because if you don't support the NFL, you don't support the players that play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people got it backwards. Oh, I'm not supporting it. I'm not watching it. Well, shoot, those guys need your support. You know what I mean? Because they're dealing with those owners and those team GMs and stuff like that. They're dealing with the coaches. You know what I mean? They're going through that. So you have to say, yo, I see you. I see what you're doing over there. Yeah. I see what you're going through. You know what I mean? Whether it's a tweet to them from an account that they may never even read. You never know, because, like, a lot of people look at me and say, like, they always start their question off. Yo, I know you're probably not going to see this, but
I hate when people ask questions like that, dude.
Yeah. And I literally see all of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I always answer those questions because they're the people that need you the most. And they always hit you with the, yo, I don't know if you're going to see this, but I just had to ask you this. So when we send out our love, you know what I mean, and say, yo, we see what you're going through over there, man. Keep your head up. Keep going. You know, they need that. They need that positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
So that's what I send over. You know, that's just how I support them.
No, that's a good way to go about it. You know what I mean? I think if you're not really into watching the games or whatever, but you got to keep in some type of contact to be able to let you know how you're supporting, or, you know, at least how to support them. I don't know, man. I don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl this year. Probably Chiefs. Mm. But I don't want it to be. I'm a big Seattle Seahawks fan. So I'm hoping. But I'm from Kansas, which is the odd thing about it. So.
Oh, man. Hey, listen. Switch it up on them.
No. I got too many people that know that I'm just not a Chiefs fan. You know, it's like one of those things where I, like, dug my own grave. You know what I mean? Type of situations. Yeah. But hey, I like
to. Pull up
in
the Mahomes jersey next Christmas. Just. Go crazy. Be like, listen, just be in the back, like, yeah,
nobody notice anything. Yeah,
go crazy.
I don't think my brother would. He'd kind of be like, hey, where's the Russell Wilson jersey? Wait a second. He would know immediately. He would go, where's this? Why is the switch up? Wait. And then he'd get the whole other family involved, and then I'd be getting yelled at. I'd be like, iPod told me to do this. I'm trying to blend in.
Listen, just had the little handkerchief poking out your pocket real quick.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Something like just a subtle, you know what I mean? Little spit in the bucket type vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Something, bro. Yeah, dude. But, here's what I'll say. This is, you know, I want to transfer over a little bit back to, you know, just his industry and YouTube as well. I mean, what has the YouTube journey been like for you? Because that is it's always interesting to hear, you know, like we talked a little bit about agent. I know a guy that's in phase. There's a couple other YouTubers that are just now over the 100K mark. Everybody who's kind of climbing this, you know, this industry with YouTube, it's really cool to hear how they all did it differently. You know what I'm saying? Or they all kind of had their own ways of success, or the way that they found their content, or what worked for them. It's just very interesting to see it, because it is all different, because it's like this whole thing ends up becoming a brand, right? And not all brands operate the same, you know what I mean? And not all marketing teams operate the same. And you kind of get in charge of your own brand, and you become your own marketing team, and it's all up to you the way that you kind of do this. Which is why I think it's so cool when you see people make it, because it's like, oh, man, like, that's their ideas. That's, you know, that's them doing their thing.
Exactly.
So can you walk us through a little bit your journey on YouTube and what you got first started in? And, you know, you said that you played 2K, but even more in depth of that, like, what was your biggest accomplishments, your biggest hurdles? I mean, give us the whole breakdown here, man.
So for me, when I first started, this was back in putting your cell phone up against a cup, aiming it at your TV while you record. That's where I came in at. Holy. I didn't come in on the HD PVRs or the Yeti microphones or the Elgato. I didn't come in on that. I came in on just getting it straight from aim your phone at your TV, get as many highlights as you possibly can until your hands get tired, or set it up on a cup on the ironing board, get your recording in, and just upload the content as fast as possible. That's where I came in at. Wow. So for me, it's never really been like, hey, I gotta hit a certain goal, or I have to get a certain amount of views per video, or I have to do this and I have to do that. I put the content out there because it's content that I would like to watch, and I would hope that other people would like to watch, yeah. If that makes any sense. So for me, when I upload YouTube content, it's more so, okay, they liked my career, so let me upload to my career. Then a year will come and say, oh, they don't like my career, let me transition to part. Oh, they don't like the part content, let me try rec. So every single year, I just try something different, and I see where people gravitate towards. But I always know that people want to hear the news, of course, because they want to know what 2K is doing, and they want to hear my opinion about it because of how long I've been in the community. And they would like to see tutorials of certain things on, maybe, you know, it's a dribble move that you like, or a jump shot, or whatever the case may be. People literally can make YouTube content on that all year long because the meta changes from time to time with every single patch.
Yeah.
So you can make tutorial videos all year long and eat if you want to. For me, it's more so, if I see somebody make a jump shot video and it's my jump shot, I'm not going to make a video on it, because literally somebody has that video. So if somebody asks me, yo, what's your jump shot? I would just give them the other person's video. You know what I mean? I've been doing that for years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, when I look at YouTube, it is literally the fourth on my list of my 7 or 8 revenue streams.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, like,
yeah.
it's literally the fourth. So if that's not, like, if YouTube isn't number one, or if it was number one, maybe I would say, oh, do I need to?
Yeah, let me make, okay, yeah.
Do I need, should I? It would be kind of cringe because I just watched this whole video. It is literally my jump shot. Should I? You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
and I understand why other creators do that, because they have families to feed. They have bills to pay, and that's what you have to do. From my look at things, it's more so like, yo, this is my hobby. You know what I'm saying? I still live on the same income that I had before YouTube. My lifestyle hasn't changed at all. The only thing that I spend my money on is equipment to upgrade my streaming setup. I don't buy fancy cars. I don't buy fancy homes.
Yeah.
I don't buy fancy clothing brands and stuff like that. And what do you call it? What is it called? High fashion. What do you call it? High end fashion or high end clothing or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I don't get into
like Gucci
that.
And stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I don't do all that. You know what I'm saying? Like if anything, every single year around the same time, I say, yo, it's time for me to support creators. And I say, yo, if you have a clothing brand, drop your link. And if they reply with their clothing brand, I'll go buy a t-shirt or a hoodie and stuff like that. And I wear that shit for a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how I give back to other creators that may be doing something. Because even though the revenue, some don't make 100% back, 60 or 70 or 80% of that revenue, it goes to them.
Yeah, it's going
you
to
know what I mean?
Them.
So I'm supporting them, you know what I mean? And that's just how I think of everything. Like with YouTube, bro, it's been so many ups and downs that you don't know. Like when 404 spam hit, like have you ever heard of that 404 spam?
No, dude. I'm so new when it comes to YouTube. I don't know shit about it, bro. Other than like that's where I watch my shit at, you know what I mean? Like any like technical terms or like with content or I don't know shit, man.
All right, so basically 404 spam was an account or a bot or whatever the case may be that flooded the whole YouTube scene when people had other creators' names in their tags and their descriptions.
Oh, shit.
You know, stuff like that. And they were flagging everybody's content. They were allowing the 404 spam bot to come in and get channels terminated, suspended, a whole bunch of stuff. So it was like Armageddon. Everybody was on a ship waiting to jump off, and the waters had nothing but sharks in them. So a lot of creators like myself, had to go in, check every video's description, mass changed a lot of descriptions, which actually helped those videos hit certain algorithms and, yeah, and stuff like that, and certain SEOs, and it fucked us all up for like 2 years. You know what I mean? So like we had to rebrand ourselves because of that. And before that, they had something where creators would bump their videos, where like, say for instance, you put out a video, right? You could like unlist it or private it or something like that and wait a certain amount of time and then hit it public again, and it would boost it back up to the top of somebody's subscription box. So yeah, like there were so many issues with YouTube, and I've been here along for the ride. Now, there's been people who told me, yo, why don't you create a new YouTube channel? Because my YouTube channel is so old that sometimes my channel doesn't get recognized in the same sense of newer channels when it comes to the content that I put out. Mm. But I said, I'm cool with it because, like I said, this is only the fourth, you know, highest revenue stream for me right now.
Yeah.
So I like, it's still a hobby for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, oh no, it's like, it's crazy because, I was having a conversation with Agent the other day, and he was telling me, you know, what his plans were and stuff like that. And I won't go into those details because, you know, he the gang, but you know, he was just telling me what he was going to do, and then he did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he is a person that says what he's going to do, and he fucking does it every single time. And when he did what he did, I said, oh, that shit is fire. But it wouldn't make sense for me to do it because I don't have the team that he has. Like, I'm a one-man show over here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Agent, he's always had a team surrounding him and a good group of guys that can help him along the way. You know what I mean? Whereas, though... Sure. Like, it was a point in time, and I don't really tell too many people this, but he was like, yo, bro, it's time to move to the A.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was like, yo, come move down here, and we can get this shit popping. And I just was like just imagine being AMP iPod. Like, hey, that shit would be fire. You know what I mean? But, like, you know, I'm the old head of the group. Everybody call me Unk. You know what I mean? And, I love those guys so much, you know what I mean? I love the journey that they're on, that I say I'm not getting in y'all way. You know what I'm saying? Because even before COVID hit, there was like talks of like them doing something together like that, and then when they did it, I was like, yo, that shit is fire. But I never thought to myself like, oh, they would ask me to be in their recordings, like, you know what I mean? Which they have, but every time that they ask me, I'd be like, man, you know, my wife ain't going to let me. You know what I'm saying? This COVID shit hit different. You know what I mean? Because all we hear is everybody getting COVID around us. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, and I live in PA, so PA is getting hit hard with this shit. Like, it seemed like everybody's getting COVID every other second.
Shit.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And we're in such a different time now, man. Like, I don't really know what's going to happen. I don't know what's, I know this vaccine is coming out. I don't know what to think about that, bro. I mean, there's just so many things happening. Do you pay attention to all this stuff, or are you just kind of usually like, hey, like whatever, like if we got to stay inside, fuck it, whatever, we got to stay inside, I'll just continue to create content, or is it like, you know, you're kind of, because I'll say this, for me, dude, when I moved down to Atlanta, I was editing and just started back up streaming and stuff like that. And life was good, bro, to start out. Like, life was so sick because it was like, I was literally just editing videos and streaming, and that was my entire revenue, and I was able to pay my bills and have money, and it was sick and it was dope. And I was chilling. I was like, oh, man, this might be it. This might be the wave.
Right.
But because of COVID, like, everything had shut down, so I was just in my own room, in my own house, just chilling. Every single day, bro, it felt like I was repeating the same fucking day. And I don't know about you, but for me, like, I like to smoke some vitamins, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, do my thing, maybe even drink a little bit. But it's like I'm doing all that shit alone, you know what I mean? Because it's like I can't go out. And, you know, it's like I got to drive like 40 minutes to go see Agent. Right. So I'm sitting there like by myself doing things. It's like, oh, okay. But eventually I'm doing the same thing over and over again, bro. I got in such a weird stage. I was like, oh, man, like. I didn't want to go live. I didn't want to do anything because I was just down, bro. So it's like, for me, even though I like creating content and I like doing all this, I need the IRL stuff to pop too, for me to get inspiration to do this, if that makes sense. I need that interaction with other people because I'm an extroverted guy. You know what I mean? If I don't have that, then my content suffers. So what are you kind of, it don't matter if you're locked in, you're locked in, whatever, you're going to create the same content, or are you kind of like, you need to be out and about to get inspiration or what stuff like that?
So for me and my content surrounds me and the people that I play with. So me and the Sales Squad, we tend to get together almost every day. And we speak on things every day. We speak with our community on things every day. And generally, they'll say, yo, a new game is out. All right, who playing it? Four of y'all? All right, bet. If I'm the odd man out, I'll play Apex for the day. And then they'll say, yo, Carter, hop in. Somebody's getting off. Then I'll play. You know what I mean? And we all rotate that all the time. So with us continuously talking with each other, it creates that type of like getting out and having that dynamic. We may not be going out and sitting at a burger spot chatting and laughing about what's going on and see somebody like riding down the street with half their door open and they're in a shorty dress hanging out, you know what I mean? And like, yeah. I want to film that, or that might have sparked something. It's more so we push each other to create the content. If like today's rival day, right? One of the homies is like, yo, today's rival day. I say, I hope you're recording. He's like, oh man, I ain't. You better record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we tell each other and we give each other that battery in each other's back to like make the content, do the content. You need to make that content. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Are you, I mean, you talk about it, it's rival day. You're up for election for a mayor of 2K, bro. I mean, I didn't ever think I would be saying that someone's going to be a mayor of 2K. But bro, here you are up for election for the Vipers. Mm-hmm. Who is you and who else is in your region?
It's me, Dominus, and C-Boy. We're the new candidates going up against the old mayor, which is Shakedown 2012. Mm. When Shakedown was announced as a mayor, I knew that they were doing something like that, and because of like, you know, the circles that we run in, and I was just telling him that it was dope and that I was going to be joining the Vipers anyway, and he was like, oh, that's dope, that's fire. But him as a mayor, we haven't even played together at all, you know what I mean? Also, I believe that he's a lower rep than me as well.
Ooh.
So like, I think he's splitting his time between Xbox and PlayStation, but I think he likes Xbox more. You know what I mean? So when it comes to me playing with my guys, I reach out to people via Twitter. I reach out to people on Discord. I reach out to my community and ask them who wants to play, whether it's Rec, Park, whatever the case may be. So when I got the nod of becoming a candidate for becoming mayor, I just started thinking about like all the cool things we could do, you know what I mean, to start putting 2K on notice. Like, I'm not really for like, oh, like, you know, Viper. I'm more so like, hey, for all the Vipers that, you know, have issues with playing online because they say that their build's not good enough, they don't know what to do, I want to give everybody the best builds, the best jump shots, the best animations, the best dribbles, dunks, and come out and compete. But on the same note, the reason why we lose Rival Day is because we don't have enough people as Vipers,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have enough games going on in our park. What happens is everybody wants rep. That's what the chase is for. Everybody wants rep. And the other candidate, C-Boy, is one of the top reps in our city. That's why he got the nod to become mayor. But he doesn't play with randoms. He doesn't play with the smaller rep players.
Yeah.
But I do. You know what I mean? And yeah. I know what type of pain they go through. I know the gripes that they go through. They're tired of playing with randoms. So if I can provide a Discord server where we have maybe 12 voice channels and everybody can actually talk on their own accord, not be cursing at each other, calling everybody names, and actually learning how to play with one another, we can create a dynamic where when we go into Rival Day, they know how to play and know how to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe sit still or maybe know their jump shot better, stuff like that. And that's what I want to do as a mayor, as well as tell 2K, like, yo, we need to boost the rep in Park so that more people can play Park, because Park and Rec are totally different. You can't come to the Rec with a Park playstyle. You can't go to the Park with a Rec playstyle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So in a sense, it's more so like 2K, y'all did this. You know what I mean? Y'all put one of the biggest 2K creators on to the Beast of the East. Everybody went there. That's why they're winning Rival Day. It's not because the Beast of the East is the best. It's because he has the biggest pull right now with the younger generation of 2K players. And everybody my age and maybe 5 years younger than me, they all hate the game. Every single one of them hate the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, when you think about it, for the Mayor Troyden and the Mayor Grinding and Mayor Shakedown, yeah, you guys may play the game and everything like that. And y'all might say, yo, you know, get out here. It's rival day. Come play. But y'all don't stream the game for 8 to 12 hours a day. Mm. Guess what Mayor does?
You.
You know what I'm saying? Well, hey. I do stream as a candidate, but
Ticino
streams the damn game
a whole day too.
You know what I mean? Like, he's out there showing people that he's having fun
and doing, you know, wagers, I mean? And shit, trying to create competition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's doing a lot.
He's doing a lot. Like, he's creating that vibe where it's like, yo, I'm having fun with the game. Me and my guys are winning. We're successful. Do you want to play? Do you want to be a Beast of the East?
He'd be taking pics with him and his girl. He's saying, you too could have a girl like this if you were a Beast of the East. And then all of a sudden, 14, 15-year-olds, they go, I gotta be a Beast of the East. I need the power. Give me the juice, Ticino. And Ticino, the doors are open, my children. And then you got all these guys over there, the Beast of the East, and they're flooding it, dude. Yeah, you need some help, man. You need some help. Listen, I once was a 2K God iPod. Listen, don't you want to? You could talk to Agent about it. Listen, I was out there just dominating. I was about to last night. I'll spill some tea. You know, we were over there. I don't know if you recently saw the new peer to peer podcast with Cole the Man, but we all crashed the podcast. Me, Cole, Peter, Davis. We were out there in droves, just kicking it, having a good time. And the other night, you know, me and Davis might have gotten a heated argument, and we wanted to settle it on 2K. He said, this is my career aim. He said, this is my career. I said, hey, let's lace it up. You know what I'm saying? I beat Agent. I beat Peter. I'll beat everybody. So, you know, maybe tune in. There's going to be something going on between me and Davis. But listen, I'm not afraid to pick up the sticks, you know? I'm not afraid to pick up. I used to be a very nice 3-point sharp hash shooter, my guy.
Okay. I mean, listen, we need him over there on the Vipers, you feel me? And if I was the mayor, I would tell you go ahead and suit up. You know what I'm saying?
What is the different is it still like the affiliations of old where like certain people get boosts?
No. They took boost out of affiliations mainly because that was another reason why everybody went one place.
Yeah.
So what's the
catcher to being, oh, I get to be a beast, I get to be a wildcat or a viper. Is there any benefit besides, you know?
Besides your mayor. That's your only benefit.
Okay. I like that because that's like you said, that was one thing that I was initially thinking. I was like, okay, like if somebody wants to be, you know, a shooter in their build, whoever gets, you know, more to the 3-point shot. Yeah, yeah, the boost. That's what you go with. But that's good that they did that, man. I don't really say that often about 2K. I'm one of those, you know, you put us in a bracket, bro. So you already know I'm that age where I'm, nah, 2K sucks. They do this, and this wrong. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like maybe it is somebody's got to find a way to get on the inside there to talk to people. I don't know what it is. I feel like from somebody, I guess, outside looking in, I'm not super into the 2K community anymore. But from someone looking in, it feels like the game, they don't listen to their community. And I think that's the rep from most other players, like video game players as well. Anytime I ran into people from Fortnite or Valorant, we talk about sports games. The biggest thing I hear from other gamers is, oh, aren't sports games copy and paste games? Like, aren't they just, you know, aren't they just scamming their buyers out of games because they're just replicating the same game over and over again? And then the other complaint that I hear is, well, they don't listen to their community. All we ever hear is 2K players complain about the game, and it never seems that it's fixed. Do you think that that is a reflection of our community, or do you think that's a reflection of the truth that the game is bad and they don't listen to their community? Or do you think that we're just always never going to be satisfied?
The first answer to that question is we will never be satisfied, mainly because every consumer has his or her own reason why the game should be the way that they want it to be. Like, in my mind, I have the biggest, the baddest picture of how 2K should be.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the city. But when the city came out, I said, yo, fuck, that's a dope idea. But that was an idea that we had 5 years ago.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense to you. So every year, right, 2K hosts a community event. They bring out some creators, and they literally sponge for about 24 to 72 hours from these creators, right? They write down all the dopest things that they will want in the game, and 2K says, okay, let's put that on our drawing board, and they'll say, how many years will it take us to achieve that? So being one of the first ever content creators to go out to 2K for the affiliate day and stuff like that and community day, like, bro, literally our gripes with 2K back in 2K 12 and 13, like when we went out there, they actually put some of those things in like 2K 17 or 2K 19 from over 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to you. You know what I mean? So like when we have a perfect picture for 2K, the landscape will always change because 2K is still trying to innovate with the things that we've been telling them almost 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you say it's a copy and paste, my bad. But when you people say it's a copy and paste, I literally say, how can you shoot the ball differently? Yeah. How can you dribble the ball differently? How can you pass the ball differently? How can you, what, how many more ways can you throw an alley-oop? How many more ways can you do that? You know what I mean? So like when we say copy and paste, the reason that it's a copy and paste and every year it comes out is because they made it that way. Sports games were designed to come out every year. That was the marketing gimmick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This was back in NBA Live. Excuse me. Madden NFL. Like, it was designed for them to come out every single year. Yes. I made a 40-minute video on how to make 2K great again and trying to figure out everything. I told them they should go the Fortnite route with seasons, mm-hmm. where every year it was a new season.
Yeah.
And the season wouldn't start until the new NBA season started after all the trades, everything like that. Because think about it, when the game came out, I created a my player. I went into my career, right? They just traded all these new players to the Sixers. I got Howard on there now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a Ben Simmons hairstyle is different now. And I started up a whole new career. So it's like, why can't they just make it seasonal? Whereas though, they come out with a game called NBA 2K. Right. And in the thumbnail of the picture, whether you get digital or you got the physical copy years ago or whatever the case may be, it has on it 2021 to 2022, right? Or 2020 to 2021, because the new season's about to start. And once the season is over, the NBA champs are donned and everything like that, they go out for the next 4 months and capture all of this content. They scan all the new players. They get all the new court designs, all the new jersey designs, get all of that stuff put in, ready to get ported into a brand new game, which is the same game that you purchased the first time. And then you just say, okay, well, you only got to spend VC again to build up another player for the next year. You know what I mean? And you still get to catalog all the old stuff. Now, they took one of our ideas where, this was back when my team first started, and I told them, I said, yo, my team is a great idea, but you have people spending money every single year on these packs, and they don't have anything where they can back catalog it, whereas though they say they've purchased this card before or earned this card back in 2014, my team.
Yeah.
And then this year, all of a sudden, they add that. They added the booklet. They allowed you to port over your MT. They allowed you to port over your VC. They allowed you to port over your cards. And then if you earned any of those cards, they allowed you to keep one of the best cards in the game for the new age, where I believe, like, say, for instance, you got like some crazy like the Wilt Chamberlain card or something like that.
Yeah.
I think they will port that card over. I'm not sure what dynamic of that card they would give to you, but they can port that card over. Because it can be done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what 2K added this year with 2K21. You know what I'm saying? You could port over some of your cards and stuff like that. And that's what they should have been doing. But it's an idea from the community that we say, yo, this will make the community a lot more happier to keep spending their money. But I'm just not into my team. I'm not into that. I'm into my player. That's what I got on the bandwagon for. That's what I've been creating my content around. I'm not a my team streamer or content creator. So when you say you're going to create something called the city, and then when it comes out, you got four different parks, four different affiliations, that's fire. You got an event center, that's fire. You got challenges all throughout the city, that's fire. That's great. But when the game came out, it was choppy, it was laggy. You know what I mean? Frames were dropping, skipping all over the place. And a lot of people didn't enjoy it. So a lot of people went over to the rec. The rec started giving out the most rep because we all found out, because we're all overly judgmental of the game. You know what I mean? Like think about it like this. When you turn on a game, you don't notice all the fun. You notice everything that's wrong with the game. We overanalyze everything that we get nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, remember when you used to be able to just watch a movie and watch the movie and go, oh, ah, and holy shit, and that was it?
Yeah.
Now it's like, up, CGI. I see
that the doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we overanalyze everything, bro.
True.
Like, they re-recorded that scene. Look at that. His button is off.
Actually true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I believe our attention span goes into too many details opposed to just having fun. You know what I mean? Like, we don't pick up controllers to have fun anymore. We overanalyze, and then we go to Twitter and say how shit of a game it is, and then everybody knows that the game is shit, so nobody wants to play. You know what I mean? And then other communities come over here and think they can step on our turf and say, hey, their game is shitty. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have the balls to talk over here. You don't play this game. You know what I mean? But I do hear a lot of creators talk about how shit 2K is, but I never would go and say, yo, Call of Duty is dog trash. You know what I'm saying? Bro. It's just, yo, I'm not playing that right now. I'm playing Apex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Apex had this time where it was pretty bad, but they got over
so bad. That dude, I'll tell you. Yeah. I think for me, it's one of those things where it's hard for me, if somebody tells me that they just play 2K, it's hard for me to trust their opinion when it comes to video games. But I think that the more video games that I've been able to play, you know, every game goes through that phase. So, you know, to me, it's you know, I guess, you know, given the years that it's really been popping with my career and building your own, or my player, you know, building your own character, stuff like that. This probably is the longest stretch since 2K18 that they, you know, they haven't really done that well. Everything is super, you know, fresh in people's minds, and, you know, they unfortunately in today's age, people don't forget. So, you know, like, if they had a bad experience in 18 and it's going to carry over, and then 19, you know, one thing's wrong in 19, and then you go to 20 and 20 is all wrong, and now it's like 21, and, you know, and the things, they pile up, you know, and it's just kind of the way that it is. I hope, because I still love playing 2K. I don't play it as often, but, you know, I still love playing it. And it's the same with Madden, dude. I almost wanted to just really invest and go pro into Madden because of how much I loved Madden so much. I was, I had an opportunity to be on the Madden bus in 2008. I love Madden, dude. I'm very competitive with football. I can't get enough of it. And so it's really unfortunate when I see a game like Madden kind of have the string that they've been having and you know, not really focusing on franchise mode or any of the play nows. They just all care about Ultimate Team. And it's tough, man. It is tough. But one thing that I would say is I'm actually super excited. One of the guys, I'm in this like pretty clouded Among Us Discord, and I was able to get a guy who he's a game developer, was a game developer for League of Legends. He's a game developer for Riot right now. He's like worked on Valorant, working on some other things. I'm really interested to get him on the pod too and talk a little bit about this, because, you know, we've been around the community, and me and you, like we said, we've been friends with Agent for a long time, and we've heard his gripes and complaints about the developers and just hire more people and why can't you do this and do this. And it's natural in any video game iPod that we would do that. You know, it's kind of say we want to dream and we want things to happen. Like you said, they brought creators out and you guys were like, we could do this, we could do this. But, you know, we're seeing the ramifications of those meetings just now.
Right.
How, what are the things that go into devs making? Is it wild for me to think? Like, I guess you talked about how differently can you dribble a ball? To me, bro, I sit there and I think about stuff like that. Because when I play 2K, I'm so mad at how 2K is boxy, bro. It feels so boxy. It feels like I move my stick right and 3-5 seconds later my character moves. And it's like the latency in it is so bad. So there's, listen, I know that there's not a ton of different ways to do this and you figured it out. And so it's just easier for you to pace this and then work on little things as you go. But it's like, to me, I think the whole thing needs an overhaul. You need to use a different engine. You need to use a ton of different things because this is not it, chief. I promise you. Like, there's no reason that I should be under the basket and I grab a rebound and for whatever reason, my character gets stuck in animations because it's boxy and the only thing that goes off of animations and my character gets pushed out of the way of like by a ghost and I'm out here, you know what I mean? And someone's just got an easy layup and people are pissed. And so it's like, those are my type of complaints where it's like, okay, this doesn't feel technically right. So I'm interested to ask him about that and say, okay, what is it like? Because we always put it on the devs, right? We always put it on the devs, but it's not always their fault. Maybe they don't have the capabilities to do some of these things.
I mean, so from a standpoint, right, to get into like the dev world and business and stuff like that with these companies developing these games, I've worked with many different dev teams on many different games. And the first thing that you have to understand is the term is not in a budget is a real thing.
Yeah.
So if you are creating a mode, which is a great mode, and you say that, hey, this mode is going to change the dynamic of the game, this is where it's going to be. But then the boardroom comes down on you and says, hey, you have a choice. It only can be online or it only can be offline. It can't be both because it's not in the budget. Getting your hands cut off like that destroys a person's resolve. It destroys their want to do things. It destroys everything. It just crumbles in your fingertips, like, immediately. So when a company is telling you that this isn't in a budget, whether it's getting a new staff member, getting someone to not take over this workload so that you can focus on something else, like, that's a real thing. So, like, when people are having gripes saying that, you need to hire more people. Why can't they just hire people? They make all this money. It's not in the budget. Because what happens is, let's stop talking about 2K and let's take Epic Games, for instance, right?
Yeah.
For Fortnite. When Fortnite first came out, nobody heard about it.
Yeah.
A few people played the world during Taking Over the World or whatever, right?
Did you play that? I played that when it first came out. I actually wasn't mad. I thought it was cool.
Right. Then when their beta came out to do the online, everybody was like, oh, this is cute. This is cool. You know what I mean? Got a little bit of building. And then it had a spark. And with that spark, gave them the engine to say, hold on, wait, this can make us a ton of money. And we can use that money to not only make the game better, but to reach out to other brands and other companies to then make the eyes on our company bigger. Every game that has done that has been successful, but the only fact of the matter is Fortnite has been the same game since it came out. Yeah, they've changed a couple things. They've gotten new engines and all of that, but every game has done that. Every game has gotten a new engine. Every game has gotten newer developers on the team and stuff like that. It's just Fortnite or Epic Games, as I should say, they only had to focus on a few things. Whereas though you think that, you know, when you think of like Take-Two and everything like that, that owns 2K, that's not just them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to think about the development team that's actually making that, which is a small team. You know what I mean? And they don't get too many new people, mainly because there are other basketball games out there for the most part that are in development. So, like, when you hear the stories of, like, Scott O'Gallagher leaving or Mike Wang leaving or Rob Jones leaving, you know what I mean? Like, you, like, these are names with that I know of people that have been on development teams that have jumped ship or gotten a better offer or have been are tired or, you know what I mean? Like, you yeah. can't never get down to the big reason on why things can't get done. But I think that nowadays, the fact that as a consumer, you can say the developer should have is crazy. Because in the person that's sitting in a developer chair will say to you, well, do you want to be a developer?
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Because, bro, they get shitted on a lot. Like, think about being yeah. the think about not being management at all. You're not a supervisor. You are an employee to make the game better. Yeah. And to make the game playable. And every single problem that comes down the pipeline gets your put fault. On your desk. it's your fault. And not only is it your fault within your own company, it's your fault on social media.
Yeah.
They literally gave a name to the people that have to deal with these problems. Like, bro, giving Mike Wang a name, it changed the whole scope of things.
Yeah.
Like, we used to just blame 2K. Then we blamed Ronnie. Now we're blaming Mike Wang. It's crazy. Like, bro, when I first met Ronnie 2K and he told me who he was, I said, yo, that's fucking dope, bro. That's dope what you're doing.
Yeah.
He told me he was the lead man on the marketing team. He's the fucking lead man on marketing. He has nothing, not one fucking thing to do with servers. Gameplay.
Fucking Ronnie's full iPod.
Yo, bro, it's so crazy, bro. And like, and then when, you know, when Mike Wang had left NBA Live to come over to 2K, it only took 5 years for everybody to put it on him.
Yeah.
Because I remember when they started having the developers stories of like talking with developers about the game and how they were working on it and stuff like that. I think it was like developer diaries for 2K.
Yeah.
And then that was the first time everybody ever saw Mike Wang.
Yeah.
And from that day forward, it was all Mike Wang's
fault. Mike Wang, dude.
Mike Wang, bro. And it sucks because I know what it's like to be an employee because I've been on the workforce before. So I know that it sucks. But at the same time, you got people trashing them, bro. Like, I mean, telling them, like, you know, the hurtful things they say over social media.
Oh, yeah.
Bro.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, there was an instance where something happened and, you know what I mean? Like hashtags had to be used.
Dude,
you know what I mean?
I did an AMP video with those guys for boxing or whatever. And I was a commentator, right? And dude, I did a reaction video. I'm telling you right now, iPod, my YouTube has like 50 subs, man. If that, right?
Right.
So I'm not too big and it'd be hard pressed, I guess, to like for someone who doesn't know anything about me to like find my stuff, especially if my YouTube's not shouted out in a video or anything.
Right.
I had a guy find my reaction video that I did for my community. Come on there and he felt the need to type a comment that said, bro, you were so annoying in the AMP video. And I'm like, bro, you took the time out of your day to watch the AMP video, see me in it, have enough emotion to be so annoyed with me to fucking find me, go throughout your however long it took you to find me, because I know they didn't shout me out. They only shouted out my Twitter. So you probably went to my Twitter. I don't have a link to my, you know, you would have gone through a whole process. Right. To come and comment. So it's like, dude, you got you're a fucking 2K dev in your Twitter bio. I feel bad for you, bro. I know that you get shit on. I know,
bro,
that it's
how
tough.
Do you think I feel about these memes, man?
Oh,
like, I mean, I'm the meme guy, man. I make people go crazy.
Hey, man, what is that, bro? How did that start? Agent just dogging you for your memes, man.
So basically one day I just was like, you know what? I like what he got going on. And one day I was like, yo, I'm about to start sending in memes. And he was like, all right, man. He was like, don't send me no shitty memes. I was like, okay. I sent him the best shitty memes he's ever seen in his life. Like, literally, the holes in his door started with me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like being able to make that type of content come out of a person is dope. You know what I mean? Like, I've had W memes in my day, which nobody ever talks about. You know what I mean?
Hey, but they only talk about what you've done for me lately.
Right. They just want to know how many shitty memes I've sent. Like, I can comment anywhere, bro. I commented on a Dave Ramsey video, and somebody said, yo, stop making memes.
Dude. Like, no shot, bro. On a Dave Ramsey video, they're coming after my boy iPod.
Yo, it's so hilarious, bro. Like, I could put up a post of, like, me securing a PS5. They'd be like, I feel so bad for that PS5. Now it has to watch all your memes.
Oh, my God, bro.
Like, bro.
And you're just sitting there like, man, I'm just having fun trolling my friend. And here you guys are just
killing me.
Killing me, dude.
Killing me. but it's fun though, because it does create a dynamic with the fans. Like I had went to the comment section on one of Agent's newest videos, and I had said something, then somebody said shut the fuck up, and then I sent them SMD. You know what I'm saying? But then like later down the line, dude was like, yo, why are you being so harsh? And dude was like, it's jokes. And then I took my SMD away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cause you know, it's just like one thing that a lot of people don't understand, like, I'm not 57, you know what I mean? I'm not 47, I'm not even 37 yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, when they say, like, you're old and stuff like that, that's cool. You know what I mean? That young kids can come on and say a couple things, but as long as you don't get, like, overly disrespectful, then it's fine with me, you know what I mean? We could jokey-joke. And plus, or I could just send you a meme, you know what I mean? Like, and then just ruin your day, so...
I thought you're just, hey, feel free to just ruin this kid's day. I'll send him a meme.
Real rap.
It's a whole thing, bro.
If, like, I remember I had said something on somebody's video, and I was like, yo, Dave, somebody sent you memes for a week. And it didn't go over too well.
He said, oh, like, God, no.
It's crazy. You know what I'm saying? You got to apologize. You feel me?
Bro, I love it, man. Hey, man, we probably wrap this pod up pretty soon, bro. I appreciate you coming on and fucking killing it, man. I'm looking forward to everything that you're doing.
Appreciate
guys
it.
if you see this, please, I don't even know, can you explain to what the voting, how's this 2K election gonna go down? How do you get elected as 2K mayor?
So 2K mayor, do you have to vote on the PlayStation, or I believe over social media? So what 2K is gonna do is they're gonna send out a tweet letting you know when you can vote for mayor. Like, usually when you load into the park and you go to, like, city events, you can vote that way. And then you can just go ahead and click my name and then vote for me. As far as, like,
They should introduce lines. Like, imagine just, a bunch of people in the 2K event arena just lined up waiting their turn to vote. And just be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, imagine having to spend an hour and a half on 2K to vote. That would be hilarious, in my opinion, because I don't play the game. But...
That'll be wild, bro. Everybody just at the city hall just voting. Like,
voting, bro.
I mean,
coming away with stickers. I voted.
I know that 2K is going to come out with the how to do it. It's just I have to make sure that I tell my fans, like, yo, go out, do this, support your boy. You know what I'm saying? Let's get it popping. You know what I mean? And that's why I haven't made a video about the whole mayor thing yet, because I don't know how to tell people how to vote. You know what I mean? I could just call Ronnie's phone and tell him, yo, how do I vote? And then he'll give me all the answers. But I'll just wait till the 21st and see how it goes.
Yeah. But, dude, I hope that works out for you. And then going to go ahead and get your links and shit. Put all the links in the description below. You guys got to go check this out. You got all socials. You got Instagram, Twitter, you Snapchat that you let fans snap you on. I mean, what do you got?
Yeah, so all they got to do is go to iPodKingCarter.com, and all of my socials are there. My Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram, my Twitch, my YouTube, my Spotify, my Caffeine, my Discord, my merch store. Like, everything's there.
All
like,
of it. And you play with subs. You play with viewers. Yes. You do it all.
Yes. Yeah, if they come to my Discord server, they'll have a chance to play with me, because I'm always looking for new players.
Awesome. I love it, dude. Yeah. Listen, is there anything you want to tell them before you leave? We'll give you, you can either tell them what you're doing. You can either give them a phrase. You could give them a word, something to end this podcast. Let them know what's up.
If you want to do what I do, just make sure that you're doing it to have fun. Don't come in thinking you're going to make $1 million in the first week. Have fun. Simple.